Matthew 12, look at, we're going to eventually get down to verses 33 through 35, but in order to kind of lay the background or lay the context down, I want to back up to verse 22. This is where in Matthew 12, they brought to Jesus one that was possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. The blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But the Pharisees weren't quite as convinced. Pharisees, they heard it and said, "This fellow does cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." There's a whole lot of revelation in that statement. You could preach on that for a couple of weeks. Basically, he's basically saying, if I were, he's basically, you know, taking their logic and saying, and taking their statement and saying, the logic of that doesn't even make any sense. If I'm casting out devils by the power of the devil, then I'm working against my own kingdom. You know, if I'm working in the kingdom of darkness, I'm using the power that I'm operating in. If it's demonic power that I'm operating in, I'm using it to overcome demonic powers. Well, that kingdom's divided against itself and it can't stand. So you could apply that to so many things in life. You could apply it to the kingdom of God. If God is making sick and healing at the same time, he's got a kingdom divided against itself. If God's against you and for you, he's got a kingdom divided against himself. And you could take that and just run with it. There's so much revelation there. But how many of you know he is the healer? He is the redeemer. He is the helper. He is the he's for us, not against us. Praise the Lord. So he just kind of shot holes through their logic. And look what he said. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And in the context of that, he makes this statement that sometimes we just jump to and read, which is fine. I've done it too. But I wanted to read the context today. He goes in then. I'm just jumping down to verse 33 through 35. Either make the tree and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt. Oh, and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now he's saying that in the context of what the Pharisees had just accused him of. If I am a bad tree, then I'll be bringing forth bad fruit. He had just cast the devil out of a man, and the demon had been limiting his speech and his hearing, I believe. And so the fruit of the devil being cast out was something good happening for the man. So if bad powers are doing something that brings good and blessing, come on, say somebody, that doesn't make any sense, because he said it's like a tree. A tree, if it's a good tree, will bring forth good fruit. If it's not a good tree, it'll bring forth bad fruit. In other words, everything produces after its kind. Demonic powers are not blessing anybody. Now, they might temporarily try to lure people into something, and they might temporarily have something that seems like it's a blessing, but I'll tell you, there's a devil attached to it, and he'll eventually raise his ugly head and destroy their life with it. So he's really not blessing anybody. He's a thief. He's a stealer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So Jesus is talking about, if a tree, look at verse 33 again, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. The tree is known by his fruit. Well, he's basically saying, I'm the tree, amen, and I'm bringing forth good fruit that makes me a good tree. So what is he talking about? He went throughout Galilee, and he's still doing this today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you understand. But when he walked around in the flesh and was walking and ministering and working miracles, he was basically saying, the fruit that I'm producing proves that the power that's flowing through me is of God. Right. Amen. Because it's not bringing curses. Cursing is bringing blessing. The miracles are bringing blessing. It's enabling people to live in a way that they could not live. Blind people seeing. They weren't able to live that way before. I mean, people being healed, people being blessed, people being helped, demons cast out, being free from torments and oppression and things. That's good fruit. Amen. Which proves, he's basically saying, that I'm doing this by the power of God. Right? And so the religious people, they look at verse number 34, I believe here. This is Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers. Is that verse 34? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say that out loud. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, he's talking to them, and he's saying, I'm like a tree. I'm bringing forth good fruit. But he's saying, you are also a tree. Basically, that's what he's saying. You're also a tree, and because you can't say anything good about the good works that are manifested through me, that means you're not a good tree. All you're doing is persecuting the work of God that's flowing through me. You're not praising God for it. You're not receiving it. You're just persecuting me, which tells me you're not a good tree. Because all you can produce, look what he said here, how can you, being evil, speak good things? All you can say is critical things. All you can say is fault-finding or slander or say making false accusations that I'm speaking or I'm doing these works by demonic power. So you're not of God. That's basically what he's saying. That's just a nice way of smiling and saying, you're of the devil. You're speaking for the devil. Right? He called him in the 8th chapter of... where is it? The 8th chapter? I believe. I'm not recalling it right now. But in John's gospel, he's basically at one point said, you are of your father, the devil. How many of you know you're either born of God or you're in the sinful nature? There's no in between. So he said these guys, they being evil, could only speak evil things. They couldn't speak good things. And then he said this, what he's talking about, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, a good man out of the good treasure, and so forth and so on. Now, when he said evil, notice a couple of things he said here. He's saying basically that I'm a tree. He's comparing himself to a tree. And you'll find through Jesus' teachings, he did this a number of times. He talked about in Matthew 3:10, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's likening people to trees. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this and what this all means here in a minute, but I just want you to see these verses. Then we've got Matthew 7:15-20. He said, beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. That reminds me, I traveled in the ministry all over the United States for years. And there was this one particular situation I got into where I was starting to find myself in churches that a particular minister that had just come on the scene, well, not just come on the scene, but was becoming very well known in at that time, was ministering. And I was coming in behind him, and everywhere I was, everywhere that minister had gone, there was he left a mess behind in the church. And all kinds of stuff was happening. And this one pastor was asking me about it. I said, well, you know, the Bible said he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet has a prophet's reward. I said, but what if a man receives a false prophet? Because I knew this man was a false prophet. In fact, the Holy Ghost told me that he was a false prophet. He doesn't say that kind of thing to me very often, but in this case, he told me he's a false prophet. And so I said, if you receive, the Bible says you receive a prophet, name of a prophet, you have a prophet's reward. If you receive if that's true, then if you receive a false prophet, you're going to get the reward of receiving a false prophet. The reward of a true prophet is the anointing that's on his life, working on behalf of the people to bless, to minister, to bring forth what God's plan is for their life and encourage them and so forth and so on. But he said, I said, the reward of a false prophet is the spirit that's working through that man You get that working on your behalf. If you're applauding saying, this isn't this wonderful, when it's not revelation gifts at all. Yeah. It's familiar spirits.
Yeah.
Y'all still glad you came this morning?
Yes, we are.
There'll be things attached to that, just like blessings attached to receiving true people of God. Well, I don't know if that blesses you, if you're mad about it, but anyway, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. That man had bad fruit everywhere he went. By the way, he was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, and that man's dead today at a very young age. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree. Now, notice he's using this illustration of a tree to talk about men, meaning men and women, you understand? So I wanted you to see that that's how Jesus referred to men sometimes as trees. Now, that doesn't mean that we're less than. I'm just saying he's talking about men are supposed to produce something. And every man is producing something. I'm almost ready to pop the clutch, all right? I grew up in the day of stick shifts, you know. Young people today don't know anything about stick. Anybody know anything about stick shifts? If you're probably 45 or older, you probably know something about stick shift. Huh? Oh, okay. All right. But I'm about to pop the clutch. So what's this all talking about? Here he's talking about men being like trees. In Matthew 12, he's saying, I'm like a tree and I'm bringing forth good fruit. Makes me a good tree.
Right?
So basically, he's telling us, from looking at all these things, he's saying that we are God's or the devil's production center. God wants to bring something forth from our lives, and so does Satan. Now, how does a tree get planted? How does a tree get started? It gets started. If it's going to produce anything, it has to get a start, right? Whereas its beginning, the beginning of everything is a seed. Right? So when this verse talks about trees, he's talking about, notice in fact, go back here to Matthew 12, verse number 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things out of the abundance of the heart? Notice that. The heart. So underline the word heart. The mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the what? Heart does what? Brings forth. Say that out loud. Brings forth. That's what we're talking about. God wants to bring forth things from your, first of all, into your life, but then from your life into the lives of others to bless other people, like we said earlier about Abraham being a blessing. So this is something we want to look at this morning. I basically want to talk to you about your heart, the production center of your life. Your heart is the production center of your life. Amen? And so there's going to be things that God wants to plant in your heart and Satan wants to plant in your heart. Seeds that God or Satan want to plant in your heart. And it's your job to guard your heart and not let Satan's seed in because it's going to produce after its kind. But only let what God's word and God's seed desires to do in your life into your heart so that God can bring forth his mighty crop, his mighty harvest. And for as far as God is concerned, the production center of your life is your spirit. Am I still making any sense? And so we see Jesus walking about doing miracles. We see him producing blessings in people's life. And he's basically saying that was all coming from things that God would plant in his spirit.
Yeah, that's good.
Number one, let's take a couple examples. That might not make sense to you right there, but let me give you a couple examples. Whenever Jesus, I believe this is Luke 17, Jesus came to some lepers. 10 lepers came to him saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make us clean. And he said, go show yourself to the priest.
Yeah.
Go show yourself to the priest. Remember, as they went, they were cleansed. Whoa! Those guys hadn't been able to get that to happen for years. Where did that come from? the Spirit of God into his spirit, yeah, out his mouth.
Yes.
Into Jesus' spirit out of his mouth.
Yes.
They acted on it and a miracle was produced.
Yes.
Good fruit was produced.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Jesus was God's production center. Everything good was coming through him. Still comes through him today, but it comes through his word today into you and my spirit as we plant that seed, water that seed, properly steward that seed. It will produce God's mighty marvels, God's mighty works and miracles, just like it produced in Jesus' life or through Jesus' life. I am. It's a slow start today, but I'm in danger of preaching myself happy. I can tell. Hallelujah. And so remember whenever Jesus was, the disciples came to Jesus, they said, listen, they're coming to collect the taxes. Where are we going to get the tax money? Jesus said, well, really, we don't really need to pay the taxes, but unless because they're going to get offended if we don't.
Right, right, right.
Go down there and take a hook, go down to the, go fishing. Praise the Lord. And the first fish that comes up will have a coin in his mouth. That'll be enough to pay our tax. Go pay the taxes with that. What? Peter did that and he got, sure enough, the first fish came up, had a coin in his mouth. How many of you believe we ought to go fishing? That's a good sign right there. I believe in God. But now here's the thing. Where did that come from? That's a miracle. Where did that come from? Something that God spoke to his spirit. Remember Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. God put that in his spirit. He either saw it or he heard it. And because whenever they came and said, where's the tax money? He dipped. He looked down on the inside because the production center of everything he needed is right on the inside. So he looked down in here and the Spirit of God gave him that revelation of where the tax money was. That coin didn't come out of heaven. It was already down here. But there was revelation came out of heaven about where it was. You could become a millionaire off of that revelation. That's the statement right there. So Jesus produced. We keep seeing miracles. We see Jesus living a supernatural life. Over and over again. He's out on the boat. He said, let us go to the other side. He's asleep. The storm comes up. They're trying to, keep from drowning and the boat's getting full. They woke him up. I mean, isn't that amazing? The boat is in a storm. And this is no cruise liner. This is a little thing. Probably not even this long from this first seat here to that wall. Probably a lot shorter than that, actually.
Yeah.
And a boat that size on a big lake is not just kind of going in a storm, not just going like this. It's probably going like this, And Jesus is back there sleeping. That's peace right there. And that's what Jesus said in John 14. My peace I give to you. Peace just says, let the devil tribulate. I'm going to take a nap. He'll try to come yakety yak yak, and you can answer that, enter in God's presence with praise, and just silence the enemy and take a nap. Well, I got so much going on the inside, I'm going to have to watch it here. I get off on all these rabbit trails. But Jesus is in that boat. They woke him up, said, carest thou not that we perish? And he woke up, and he stood up and said, peace, be still. Notice he didn't get up and say, his first thought in the test or the trial, you could liken that to a test or trial. His first thought was not something natural.
Right. True.
Boys, do you got another bucket?
No.
He didn't turn to the natural.
No.
He didn't turn to something, Well, boys, didn't you listen to the Weather Channel before we left? I mean, He didn't turn to the natural.
Wow.
He dipped. What do I mean dipped? I mean he looked down on the inside where the production center of everything he needed was, and it came up out of his spirit, speak, command it to be still. No man had that thought for the entire history of the planet. No man had that thought ever. Where did he get that thought? Not out of here. He got it out of here. And when he acted on it, it produced the supernatural and it produced the miraculous to keep on fulfilling the plan of God.
Yes.
What do you mean keep on fulfilling the plan of God? They didn't go to the bottom of the lake. They kept going to the other side to get over there to where God had for them on the other side of that lake. Hallelujah. So these things come from that. Jesus got all these things from the Spirit of God and out of his spirit. And it came from these miracles came from Jesus acting on those things. And when he would act on them, miracles would come forth and it would produce a quality of life. Listen to that. A quality of life that a few moments before looked impossible. Like take that storm. It looked impossible. It looks like we're sinking. Right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So notice Matthew 12, 35. Notice out of the heart a man brings forth.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's first of all talking about from the context the bad words, the critical words that the Pharisees had said. They spoke out of their heart because they're an evil tree. They took an evil thought of the enemy and spoke it.
Yeah.
Right? But second of all, from the context, back up to verse 22, where he administered to that man, they said, you're casting out devils by the power of the devil. He's saying, I'm a tree, and I'm a good tree, and I'm bringing forth the blessings of God in people's life, and I'm living supernaturally. How many of you know God doesn't want you to live naturally only? He wants you to live supernaturally. You're going to encounter things all through life that are going to come against you, that are going to try to oppose your progress in the plan of God. But listen, you can dip down into your spirit and hear from God, which plants a supernatural seed that puts faith on the inside of you. And when you act on that faith, it produces something that there was no possibility of you operating in the natural just a few days before. I have been there. This is God's plan for the way he wants us to live. Hallelujah. Amen. So, but the seed that produces these marvelous and wonderful works of God, it doesn't come from a man. This comes from God. Amen. Comes from the mouth of God. And so I want to live a life of miracles and marvels. And you ever heard of the term signs and wonders, like the Bible says? Let me tell you what wonders are. Wonders, now this is revelation, so don't let it get past you. This is huge revelation.
Yeah.
Wonders make people wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
That's the way your mind's life's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. To where people who know us. Are you still there?
Yeah.
People who know us, they go, we know your background. We know where you came from. We know your education. We know the job you work at. We know, we know kind of how sorry you are sometimes, you know, but we know you. How are all these things happening in your life?
That's right.
Come on, somebody. Your life ought to be a phenomenon. It ought to be an anomaly. It's like, well, everybody else is in this flow of struggle and so forth, and you're not. And your answer is to be, it's by taking and planting different seed than everybody else is planting. Everybody else is planting the seed of their ability into their success or their education into their success. Or so I'm not against education. I'm not against being smart. I'm not against being, you know, being sharp. Whatever, financially, in business, or anything like that. I believe the Holy Ghost will make you smart and sharp. But yet, right on the other hand, that's a supernatural wisdom, not a natural wisdom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. And those things will make you literally just kind of a phenomenon, if you want to say it that way, where people can't figure out how you're living this quality of life. Where's this quality of life coming from? Are you robbing banks? Are you, because natural carnal-minded people, they always go to the natural. Are you dealing drugs on the side? I mean, what's going on here? Natural-minded people don't have any concept of prospering supernaturally or succeeding supernaturally. Or whenever the doctor says, there's no hope, you've got 6 months. There's a supernatural seed you can plant into that situation of the Word of God out your in your spirit that He spoke to your spirit and out your mouth that will cause it to turn around. We just had another testimony in Cedar Rapids along this line. People, doctors are like, we don't understand what happened. Well, see, it wasn't natural. That didn't come out of something natural. It didn't come from their medicine or their treatments. We thank God for their medicine. If they can do something to help, thank God for it. But what they acknowledge it themselves. We hear this all the time. We don't know. It wasn't our treatment. There was a lady not long ago in our church. She went down to like death's door with fourth stage cancer. Looked like skin and bones. Looked like walking death, actually. And she's holding on to the Word of God. She got down there close to almost being, dead. And she said, "No, I'm holding on." And something changed in her body. And she's walking in health and completely free from cancer today. And the doctor said, "We don't know what happened." And They acknowledged themselves. It was not our medicine. We know it was not our medicine because our medicine wasn't working. She kept on going down, down, down. What was that? It was a supernatural seed she planted in her spirit. Now, I've had ministers say to me, I hear you talking about healing. We don't have healing in our church. We don't see those kinds of things in our church. I said, "Well, isn't that interesting?" I said, "We preach it, we believe it, we say it, we lay hands on the sick, we pray for people, and we get healing. You don't preach it, you don't believe it, you don't say it, you don't lay hands on people, and nobody gets healed." It's obvious that it's not God being favorite and liking us and not liking you. It's just that you're not planting the seed. Now, 1 Corinthians, you look at this, look at the scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Oh, my, 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 my. Feel like I'm barely scratching the surface on this, and we've already, so much here. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9. This passage is huge with revelation. God, if you read a few verses before this, Paul's talking about I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You remember that? Back up there in verse number 6. So neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man receives his own reward according to his own labor. He's talking about ministers sowing the word of God. Then he said in verse 9, you, talking about believers, are God's, excuse me, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's, King James says, husbandry. You are God's building. And then he goes on talking about God's building, and we could preach on that for a long time. But look what he said first. You are God's husbandry. Other translations will say, you are God's garden, or you're God's field, or God's tillage, some translations say, or you're his farm, others will say. That's basically saying, you are God's soil that he wants to plant his imperishable seed into. Now, that's actually how your whole experience of the new birth began. What is it? 1 Peter 3 something, verse somewhere in 8 and 9, somewhere in there, 7, 8, 9. It talks about, or maybe it's a little later than that. It talks about being born again, talking about us being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, right, that lives and abides forever. We were born again of an incorruptible seed. We got a new nature. Our old sinful nature, we could not stop it. We could try to clean up our speech around grandma and not cuss when grandma's around, But every now and then it slip out. Yeah. I'm sorry, grandma. Yeah. Well, see, it's a nature. Couldn't change that nature. Yeah. But we got born again and got a new nature. And that old nature's passed away. That doesn't mean our flesh doesn't have the sinful nature. But our new nature, the spirit man, got a new nature. And if we live out of that nature, it's like I told the congregation in Cedar Rapids, I said, I cuss all I want to. Every time I want to cuss, I cuss. I just never want to cuss. Because this new nature doesn't want to cuss. Some of you went, whew, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I got a new nature. How about you? I don't want to do all that stuff anymore. I got flesh, but I don't live in that realm. Praise God. All right. But notice here, he's talking about this supernatural life. God wants our life to not just be natural, because the seed of God's word is not a natural seed. Remember, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. The word is the seed.
Yes.
And that word is an incorruptible seed, and it'll do things that there's no natural way for it to come to pass. I don't know I don't know how you're sitting there like that. This is working for me. I'm living a life that as a kid, I never dreamed was available. There was no natural way for me to get into it. You follow me around for a week or two, and you're going to go away and talk to somebody, and you're going to say, there's a blessed man.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And if you want to know where it came from, it didn't come from me, because I tried before I got the word of God in me. I tried to bring a lot of things to pass, and I flunked royally. Yeah. I don't want you to testify, but can anyone identify with that? In your own power or your own ability? But I started changing the seed I was planting. I started planting the incorruptible seed, the truths of God's word. Hallelujah. And it started doing things for me which there was no possible way for me to do. Remember, the Bible talks about in Isaiah 55, the rain comes down from heaven and returns not thither except it waters the earth. So shall my word be. That comes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void. It'll prosper in the thing I sent it. Amen.
Amen.
Prosper in the thing I sent it to. Praise the Lord. The word has the ability in it to do mighty, mighty things. But see, it's not just all up to the word. The parable of the sower is one of the best parables about this in the entire Bible. Jesus gave that parable. Actually, before he told the parable, he said, it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The parable of the sower is the mystery. It is the key to everything. Everything in the kingdom of God works this way. And he said, here's the parable. Remember, he talks about the sower sowing the word. I mean, he told the parable, and then later he told what it was about. It was sower sows the word. And when he told the parable, there's four kinds of ground. You remember, this is in Matthew 13? A couple different places. Or Mark 4. Yeah, Mark 4, sorry. But in this parable, he said it's got four kinds of ground. The sower went out to sow, remember? And he sowed, there was, you know, wayside ground, there was thorny ground, there was stony ground, and there was good ground. Four kinds of ground. What kind of ground am I? Well, whatever kind of ground I am, I grew up on a farm, and now God's blessed us with a piece of land, and we don't necessarily farm, but I do have some areas I plant some things, and I even got to plant some apple trees and so forth, and I kind of enjoy that a little bit. But I've learned some things about seed, and it's really not the seed that determines the harvest. It's the ground. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, he told the parable, and then he said, this is what it is. He said, the sower sows the word. If you read the rest of the parable, the sower is not mentioned again in the rest of the parable. The only thing that's mentioned from then on is the ground. Amen. The ground. The ground is our heart, the soil of our heart. So he told that parable and he said, so the sower sows the word. And then he goes and talks about the ground. And so forth. And he talks about the ground being weedy or rocky or something like that. But do you know a good farmer can remedy those things? A good farmer can keep the weeds out.
Yeah.
Today we got different ways of doing it back then, but today we can spray the weeds. and so forth. And it's all up to the ground. The seed has the potential in it to do the same thing for everybody, but it is determined. The production of that seed is determined by the ground.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And that ground will produce, listen to this word, it'll produce according to our stewardship of it. That's the big deal. God doesn't just bring forth His great mighty things independent of us, without our involvement or our stewardship of His word. That's the big word right there. God doesn't do it on His own. He needs our cooperation and our stewardship of the word of God. The word of God will do the same thing for one man as it'll do for another man. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't respect your education, your background, your history, the color of your skin. It doesn't. There's nothing in the natural that God's word respects. It'll do the same thing for anybody. Praise God. It'll work in America. It'll work in Nigeria. It'll work wherever. Amen. But it has to be stewarded properly. God's word will bring forth its mighty marvels for anybody, but the man that stewards it properly will get the best and the most that's available, the full potential. But anyway, I've learned about the ground. You got to really take care of the ground. Some of the ground I plant small plots of different crops, just small crops, small areas. Because I'm not trying to harvest. It's not a commercial farm. I take samples. I just did it a couple weeks ago. I take samples of the ground every year, send it into an analysis center to where they analyze, okay, it's got this much phosphorus in it, it's got this much nitrogen, this much this and this and that, so forth and so on. Here's what the pH is, here's what the how much organic matter's in there, so forth and so on. Why on earth do I want to know all that? Because all of that is huge when it comes to how much that ground's going to produce. And if it's not good ground, there are ways to amend the ground.
Yes.
There are ways to remedy the ground.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. That's what farmers are doing when you see them out here spreading lime on their fields or fertilizer on their fields. They did exactly what I said. They took a sample and it came back, the pH wasn't right. So he's going to go out there and he's going to put a whole bunch of lime on that. You know, I know you didn't come for a farming lesson, but this isn't a farming lesson. This is a lesson on how to steward the ground of your heart. Now, what on earth would it be that could get into your heart that could keep God's mighty crop from coming? Well, things like offense, unforgiveness, right? Always fussing, bitter, or strifeful. Nobody on this side needs that, but you know. Amen. That's what the cares of life. That's Jesus mentioned that in the parable of the sower. The thorny ground was the ground that had the cares of life in it. So it's our job to properly steward God's word. And those who steward it well, their life becomes a marvel. I said their life becomes a marvel.
Yes.
And people that grew up with you should be saying, if they're not walking with God and not seeing it themselves, they should be saying, we know where you came from.
Exactly.
What's going on with you?
Exactly.
All right, we had a guy at our church. This is in the financial realm, but it's true about all realms. It's true about a carefree life. Many, many different realms of our life. But this particular man, he got a hold of this word and started walking in it, grabbing onto it and living it and pressing into it and putting it into practice in his life. And he didn't have much of it. I think he had a high school education. I think that's about it as far as I remember at this point. Maybe just some kind of little training of some kind. But he started saying, well, listen, I see what the word of God says is mine. And he started believing God for increase. And they started promoting him on his job over people who were the people that had seniority and the training or background or education for the promotion, and they leapfrogged him over them into that position without the qualifications that were written on the paper. See, this is the favor of God. And he's getting promotion and so forth, so much so that people are getting mad at him. Yeah. Well, somebody said, well, God was moving his life. But it wasn't just God being partial to him. God would have done that for any one of those guys. Right? But see, they got it. They hadn't planted that kind of seed. Praise God. And actually, he started prospering so much that his family came to him upset. They literally thought he was doing something illegal on the side. That's a good testimony. Not because he wasn't doing anything illegal on the side. Amen. That's what a wonder is. It makes people wonder. Praise the Lord. Some of you are looking at me wondering right now. I'm just... The kingdom of God is a mystery. Jesus said so. That's what the parable of the sower is. He was, I'm going to tell you the mystery of the kingdom of God. A mystery is not something hidden from you. It's something that's hidden in the realm of revelation knowledge. People don't have revelation. They don't know how to do it. A mystery is something hidden for you, not hidden from you. Am I preaching all right? There is power available to live this life so supernaturally that things work for you that's not working for anybody else. And I'm interested. If you're interested, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, all that God does, he does through our spirits, the way he does things. Now, there's other ways of doing things. But the way God does things is through our spirits. Now, let's take healing, for example. Healing, God, divine healing. There's other kinds of healing. Thank God for medicine and so forth or whatever. But there's other kinds of healing. I mean, there's divine healing, excuse me. Divine healing God doesn't heal by his power through our body. Now, you might say, well, I need it in my body. I know we need it in our body, but that's not where it begins. It begins, and divine healing begins in our spirit. Let's take, for example, the woman with the issue of blood. She came, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. Nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, right? She came to Jesus. Now, first of all, Jesus didn't realize that at first that she had even touched him. I mean, as soon as he knew it, it had already happened. But if he would have been ministering by natural medicine or something natural, he would have said, well, what did Dr. So-and-so say? What did Dr. say? And he would have gone the natural route. We're not opposed to that, but how many of you know Jesus ministered healing supernaturally by divine power, right? And you can see that all through his ministry. He never started asking them about the diagnosis. He just operated from his spirit. And he was not ministering through their minds. He was not ministering to them in their bodies. He ministered to them through their spirit to get that power to their bodies. That's divine healing. Amen. Now, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. King James says keep, but it's really in the Hebrew. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it... What? Out? Look at that. Out of it. There's supposed to be things coming out of it.
Yes.
Out of it are the issues of life. One translation says forces of life. In other words, God is wanting to do things in you and my life, but he does it by making sure, by getting his seed into our heart.
Yes.
If you want to get the right thing out of your heart, you got to get the right thing in your heart.
Yes.
And not just a little bit of it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart. Get the word in you in abundance, and miracles will happen in abundance. Oh, my, my, my. So out of your heart, you guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life, right? So God does what he does through your spirit. The heart and the spirit are used interchangeably in the Bible. So he does it, what he does through your spirit. This, and then he goes on and he says, well, actually the verse before that, I believe it's the verse before that, it talks about, you know, my son, attend to your word, incline thine ears to my saying, let it not depart from thy eyes. Keep him in the midst of your heart. You'll be life to those that find him. Notice, medicine to all their flesh. Flesh, flesh. Medicine to your flesh. Medicine to your body, in other words. It's like God's word is like a medicine. King James says health, but it's the Greek word, I mean, Hebrew word for medicine. God's word is your medicine. But this is not a medicine that is in a little bottle on your coffee table that you take three times a day. This is not something that you put into your body. This is something you put into your spirit. And then out of your spirit comes healing into your body. Many Christians, they want the power to flow directly from God to their body. It doesn't work that way. It goes from directly from God into your spirit. The imperishable seed of God's word goes into a man's spirit, and then out of his spirit, out of his spirit, out of his spirit comes the divine healing. Hallelujah. That's how he gets it into your body. Not directly to your... See, a lot of people, they want to go directly to the healing in the body. Well, that's like looking, you got a recipe that calls for tomatoes to be added to the recipe, tomatoes. A person that wants the power just to flow and heal their body, they want to bypass the flow of the word into their spirit. That's like a recipe that calls for tomatoes, and a guy says, well, I'll just throw tomato seeds in there. That's not the same. Listen. There's a lot of times people want tomatoes, but they're not willing to plant tomato seed. Right? You know why I'm not going to harvest any corn this fall, coming up this fall? Because I don't plan on planting any corn. Simple, but it's so simple that it's people go past it. If you want to harvest along a certain line, plant the seed along that line. Plant that kind of seed. Praise the Lord. And so God does what he does through your spirit. Amen. God does not heal bypassing your spirit. Right. Divine healing. I'm talking about divine healing. He heals through your spirit. Your spirit has to receive the word of God first. Yes. So the word of God you can school your spirit into the word of God. And so then healing will come from that word growing in your spirit and producing the healing.
Yes, that's true.
Well, I don't have that kind of time, Pastor. Well, then you better get busy right away. Amen. This is why Brother Hagin used to say it's dangerous to wait till you need faith to get faith. Yeah. Yeah, because there's times that if it's a fast-working disease or something, you don't have a lot of time to get the word in you. So it's best to live getting the word of God in you and being prepared all the time. You remember the parable of the storm, you know, the foundation, one guy built on the sand, one guy built on the rock. You remember that? Same storm. You read the wording about Jesus describing the storm. Same storm to both of them. What was the difference? The preparation that had taken place before the storm came.
Yes, that's right.
The preparation, building that foundation on the Word of God. Amen. How many of you know you need to go to a church that builds your faith on the Word of God? Find a place where people's lives are being changed through the Word of God and make that a place that you honor and get that Word in you yourself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not real, it doesn't have a lot of fireworks going off around it, but boy, the fruit that it produces. Whew. Changed lives. Praise God. Now, Deuteronomy 8:18. Now this will make more sense. Deuteronomy 8:18. It's he that gives, thou shalt not forget the Lord thy God, for it's he that gives thee power to get wealth. Do you know the word get there is the Hebrew word for produce? Produce. The power to produce. Well, now that you know where your production center is, That verse makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, that's right.
Power to produce wealth. Now think about Genesis. Well, this is, I'm finishing that point. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. God says, let us make man our image and our likeness. Let him have dominion. You remember that? Then verse 28. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and so forth and so on. So he said, be fruitful and multiply. We read that and all we heard was, have babies. And that's scriptural. But that's not the limit of what he meant there. Be fruitful means go and bring forth fruit. Why? Because he's saying, you are my production centers. You are my trees. Praise God forevermore. Oh, my, 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 my. I grew up in Pennsylvania and on a farm. And Pennsylvania is a little like Wisconsin. I don't know if there's a lot of apples around here or not, but up close to Wisconsin, where we live, close to Wisconsin, and then here, but in Pennsylvania, there was a lot of apple orchards, and I kind of enjoyed those trees for some reason. I just always kind of thought that was amazing how those apples grow in there. But anyway, but on both sides of our farm, across in front of the farm, behind the farm, these apple orchards were there, and I never once went through those apple orchards because the neighbors, they said, it's all right if you, because we had a farm and then my uncle's farm, it was my grandpa's farm first, but then my uncle's farm was on the other side of one of the apple orchards. He said, that's all right if you want to drive at the edge of the apple orchard, you know, back and forth between the farm. So I just thought that was amazing. I'd stop and look at those trees. I thought that was amazing. And I never once went through there in the summertime. Those apples are, you know, whatever, about half big around or whatever, growing. I never once went through there and saw one of those apple trees going, boom, there comes an apple. You ever seen that? No. What are we saying? Jesus said we're like a tree.
Yeah.
So fruit doesn't come by great stress or straining or great effort. It comes, Jesus in the 15th chapter of John talked about it. Abide in me. Maintain a living union with me. You can of yourself do nothing. But I'm not going to do this in myself. I'm going to maintain this living union. And that's how a branch produces apples. It just stays connected to the apple tree. Everything it needs is coming out of the trunk of that tree. Back whenever I was a kid, I don't remember how old I was, maybe 10 or 12 years old. Just half dumb, you know. Still a kid, still not using wisdom. Today we've got those four-wheelers, those quads, you know. They used to not make those. They used to only make three-wheelers, but they outlawed making three-wheelers because three-wheelers can be dangerous because they get a little wobbly like this. Anyway, so back then we had a three-wheeler, just a small one, a little 110 Honda. Still remember it, red. But it was big for a 10-year-old, you know. I'm flying full black because don't ride. You're a 10-year-old. You don't ride that halfway wide, half open. You got to push the throttle all the way. No fun riding with half throttle. So anyway, I was going to the other side to Uncle's farm over there, and then I came back, and I'm coming back, and the orchard had the edge of the orchard was a woods where we were driving back between the farms, and so I'd come around that orchard had a little bit of a or the edge of there had a little bit of a curve, so I'm coming around and I'm wide open. I'm leaning way in to keep from going the wrong direction. Wide open, and my back wheel, my inside wheel hit a rock, a big one like this. And so that made that thing unstable because those were pretty unstable machines. And so it knocked me out of my course on the path, and I ran right into an apple tree, not the trunk of the tree. I missed the trunk of the tree by a few, you know, not very much, maybe about this much. And went right into an apple tree, and there was a branch maybe about this big around that's sticking out that side, and that thing hit me, bam, like that, and knocked me off of the apple tree. It's good I had a hard head. So I just instinctively, it knocked me off, knocked the four-wheeler, came into a couple pieces, actually, not the frame, but stuff flew off of it, and the gas tank actually came off of it. It was kind of a weird thing. But so, and I hit the ground, and the first, I did a real quick reaction and jumped up to see if I could walk. I mean, I wanted to know, am I alive? Can I walk, you know? So anyway, I limped with the four, I think the, we came back later and got the three-wheeler, but I didn't crawl home, but I was in pain, and I walked home. And so, but boy, they saw me, and then Mom's like, what happened to you? Well, so she fixed me up, and thank God for mamas, right? But I came back maybe 10 days or 2 weeks later. I came back there. They went and got the four-wheeler, but I went back to see that apple tree. I want to know, you know, how much did I miss the trunk by, and how big was that branch? I didn't know all that. I mean, I didn't take the time then to look, is what I mean. So, and that branch was broken. It was the summertime, but that branch was broken, but not, it hadn't fallen off. You know what I mean? It was half broken, if you know what I mean. And it's attached to the tree, but it's not completely attached. And I noticed something. The rest of the tree, the apples are looking good, you know, the right color, didn't have spots on. But this branch had apples on it. But those apples that were on the branch that I had broken, they're pretty much the same size as when the day I broke it. And they had black spots all over it. The apples had black spots all over them. What was the problem? Not a good connection. Not a good connection to the vine, you know, or the trunk of the tree. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, maintain a good union with me. And you do that through his word, through fellowship in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That tree wasn't straining. It was just producing because it's kept its good connection. Are you getting anything out of this today? Maintain this living union. It might not be overnight that you see the results, but if you'll maintain, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. There'll be things that you'll see that will baffle people. The Lord spoke to me one day, this was a number of years ago, just out of the blue. He started this conversation with me by saying this. He said, you've gotten the word in you. The end of your life will be different than it would have been. Somebody said, doesn't that scare you? No, because the end of my life is going to be different than it would have been.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lord God. Amen.
Hallelujah. What he's saying is, the word that has gotten into me, I'm never done getting the word in me. Don't misunderstand me. But the word that I've been diligent to get on the inside of me is going to keep me healthy at the end of my life. Yeah. And I'm not going to be taken out early. Somebody said, I wouldn't say that. The devil will hear you. He's the one I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I want him to hear it.
Yes.
The end of my life is going to be different. It's going to be better. It's going to be like the word of God says. Long life, health, praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm telling you what, I'm just going to have I'm going to finish strong and be well. And when I get, you know, well, if Jesus doesn't come, I believe he's coming real soon. But if Jesus doesn't come and I get up there and I'm satisfied, I'll call everybody in that I love and say, well, it's been good running my race with you. But I'm going to go on home. Adios. Bye-bye. Without sickness or disease. Just lean back and give up the ghost. Oh, you just never know. Never know. Well, I know because I know the word how it's going to be. That's the truth. That can be true about any of us. It can be different. God doesn't determine these things. It's how we steward the word that determines these things. Well, praise God. I think we've said enough today. Thank God for the truth, right? But there's this power to produce. I want to finish this Deuteronomy 8:18. Power to produce wealth. Notice in Genesis, he said, be fruitful. So he commanded them to be fruitful. He gave them dominion. He gave them the blessing. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. So God intends for us to bear fruit. He's like a tree. He intends for us to bear fruit, not only in our lives, but for the kingdom of God. There's to do this in our natural ability is very limiting. We are very limited as human beings without, I'm talking about without God. Oh, I wouldn't say that. Well, Jesus himself said, I can of my own self do nothing. That's a good confession. Oh, I wouldn't say that. I'd say what I can do in Christ. Well, you need to stay humble about what you can do on your own. Where I'm walking right now is not on my own. I had a young man. I'm trying to quit. I'm beginning to commence. All right. I had a young man come to me. He was so precious. I still love him dearly. He was. You know, he came into the church really struggling in many areas, mentally and bombardments of attacks against his mind. He was on, I think, 17 medications, if I remember right. And we just loved on him and started ministering to him, and he started getting the word into him. He started growing. He realized he had a call to the ministry, and he knew all about the call. God had spoken to him, not us, but just God had spoken to him. And but anyway, in the process of time, he came off all those medications. He's totally set free. Physically, emotionally, all those things. We're not against medication, but hey, there's something better. Planting the imperishable seed of God's word. He got that word in him and started growing and everything. But then he got distracted. Jesus really addressed that in the parable of the sower, the distractions of life. King James says cares, but Greek says distractions of life. So he got distracted, and he got caught up in some things, and wasn't as faithful to the word. And, you know, how many of you know if the word produced something, it'll maintain what it produced, but you have to continue in it. But he got distracted and so forth, and things started getting back in and getting a hold of him and so forth. One day he got so far away from what was giving him the victory that he called me and he said, I just want to let you know, I'm not who you think I am. I'm this, I'm that. I'm going back out. I'm not coming to church anymore and so forth and so on. And I said, I'm going to the office right now. Meet me at the office. I was trying to help him. He said, no. And he just wouldn't come. He wouldn't talk or anything. Loved on him, tried to. And I'm telling you, the congregation was so good to him. Yeah. He didn't have a dad. And there were people in the congregation that took him in like a dad. Thank God for the local church.
Yeah. Amen.
But anyway, I got to make this short. So he said, I can't live the way you live. He became like a son almost. We were taking him in and just loving on him, and he was seeing the victory in our lives. But he got to the place he listened to that lie. I can't live the way you live. And you know what my answer to him was? I can't either. What you're seeing is not me. Oh my goodness! I can't either. I was trying to get him to say, you're not seeing willpower. You're not seeing whatever his mind said he was seeing. You're seeing what the Word of God can do when it gets on the inside of somebody. It can produce marvelous freedom and victories. Hallelujah. Well, that's the way our lives needs to be. We need to live way beyond where we can live in our own abilities. Whether it's free in our minds, you know what I'm talking about? Free in our marriages, free in every area of life, free in our bodies, free in our finances, and everything like that. Hallelujah! But it takes something supernatural. It takes a supernatural seed. Hallelujah. Let's be good stewards of the seed. What do you say? Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a little like if a university challenged two teams of people, said, okay, whichever team can produce the most apples by this amount of time, we're going to give you a grant to our university, and you can all come to our university free of charge or something like that. If one team says, can we have access to your lab? We want to go in and chemically study apples and figure out how apples what apples are made up of and so forth, and they're going to go that route. Another team can say, okay, just give us some apple seed, right? They'll get on Google in 30 minutes. They'll know what are the diseases that kills apples, what are the funguses, what are the bugs that eat apples, what kind of atmosphere do apples need, all that.
Yeah.
Within 30 minutes, they can know all that, plant seed, and they'll start growing apples. And that Johnny Appleseed team will start feeding the whole world with apples before that other team in the lab can chemically produce an apple.
Right?
Why do we think it's different in our lives? I just can't. I just don't. I don't have this. I don't have that. There's seed for everything you need. I never said that before. There's seed for everything you need. If you have a need, get the seed that meets that need. I'm talking about the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And you'll be way down the road with the things that you need in your life and the blessings showing up by the time, you know, way down the road beyond people trying to figure it all out with their head. Your head doesn't have all the answers, but the seed's got the power in it. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and thank God. Father, thank you for your word this morning. It is our answer. It brings clarity as to where our priorities are to be, where our focus is to be. Father, so many things in this life distract us and try to tell us our answers are here, our answers are there, but our answers are in your word. Thank you for making us your production center to produce your crop, the mighty marvels of your ability in our lives. Father God, we receive this word. We make the adjustments that this word requires because it means this has to become priority. Getting your word in us and stewarding your word has to become priority. Thank you, Father. We choose those adjustments. We choose those adjustments in Jesus' mighty name. And we'll make your word our highest priority. Hallelujah. Thank you for the results. Father, we'll not just be hearers of your word today, but we'll do this, and we'll not just do it for a day or a week, but we'll do it as a lifestyle and continue in your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Thank you for the results. Thank you, Father, for the results in every person's life here that becomes a doer of it. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You ought to turn to your neighbor before you're dismissed. In fact, find somebody right there by you and say, take a good look. Because from now on, my life's going to go from glory to glory. And I'm going to be changed and go into all that God has prepared for me. In Jesus' name.